Amen. If we'd open our Bibles this morning to John chapter 5, or 1 John chapter 5. And reading from verse 12. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you once again for the reading of your word, believing, Father, that you are the word, that this reading of your word is your declaring of your thoughts, your intents, your purpose, your mind. And Father, we thank you for allowing us the privilege to be part of that, of what you are doing in this hour. And Lord, we pray that as we would study your word this morning, that you would bring forth in us, Father, that which you ordained before the foundations of the world, to be holy and without blame, precious in your sight. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, last week we examined the fourth benefit concerning the Son of God, which was this scripture in 1 John 5 and 12 that says, He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And last week we found that the word translated as hath, that is used several times in this verse, was translated from the Greek word echo. Now, if the translators had left that word untranslated, as they left the word baptisma untranslated, where we get our English equivalent baptism from, then our understanding of this verse of Scripture, and thus this particular benefit that we receive as a result of our understanding of the role of the Son of God, it would be completely different than what most men will read when using the word hath instead of the word echo. Now, in reading this verse with the word untranslated, as we read it, it says, He that echoes the Son echoes life, and he that echoes not the Son echoes not life. Now, that means that since God is a fountain of life, and in John 5 and verse 25 we read, For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. So we see that the life comes from the Father and into the Son. And in reading this scripture also with the word echo left in the untranslated, in John 5:26, it says, For as the Father echoes life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to echo life in himself. All right? So we're looking then at a reverberation. When God, as Brother Branham said, before the foundations of the world, he went over and over and over. He mulled over and over and over these thoughts. Not that he made the first thought any different from the last thought or the second thought or the third thought, because he's eternal and he doesn't change. But yet he went over and over these thoughts. The Bible says he brooded and he kind of just, you know, he in his mind, he was laying this the great life plan out. And so there was an echo within him. So, for as the Father echoes life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to echo life in himself. Now, I've got a tremendous quote to bring out this morning to you about that. And but as the heart pumps the blood over and over again to echo forth the life in the body, so too the Father's word echoed over and over and over again in his mind. And then when it began to come forth from the Father, this same echo of life moved forward into manifestation. First into a son and then into sons. Now listen carefully to what Brother Branham says about this. From who do you say this is? He said, just notice how few recognize him to be the anointed word of that day. You see, God in the beginning, being infinite and knowed all things from the beginning, and the only thing that these things are is the display of his attributes. An attribute. You have an attribute, it's your thought. You think of something, then you speak it, then you take it. That's God. He in the beginning, if you ever was or ever will be in heaven, you was in heaven to start with. You're part of God, you were his thought. He knew your name. He knew who you were before there was ever a molecule, before there was a light, before there was anything. He knew you and your name. And he put it on the Lamb's Book of Life before the world was ever formed. See, you were his thought. And then you become a word, and a word is a thought expressed. Then you're manifested. That's the way he was. He was in the beginning by himself. God dwelt alone with his thoughts. He'll never do that again. Now listen. That really struck home to me. He says, in the beginning, God dwelt alone with his thoughts. He'll never do that again. Because his thoughts are being made manifest. And that's why we are right here this day. It's God fellowshipping with his thoughts being made manifest. Oh, hallelujah. You see, there you are, or there we are. So you, by taking thought, cannot add one cubit to your stature. You cannot do this or that or the other. It's God that showeth mercy. It's God. See, he's talking sovereignty here. All the Father hath given me will come to me, and no man can come except my Father draws him. That settles it. So we can see that in John, 1 John 5 and verse 12 is a perfect echo of 2 John verse 9 in the sense that both speak of this great echo of life that comes forth from God and was echoed by the Son of God and then by us who are able to receive the doctrine of Christ. Notice in 2 John verse 9, whosoever does not keep pace with or goes beyond the limits of the doctrine of Christ echoes not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he echoes both the Father and the Son. Now, for any who might think that this talk on the echoing of the Son echoes life is maybe just perhaps my little thought, let's read what Brother Branham says about it. From come let us reason together, Brother Branham said, and now, not knowing nothing about you, and this is our first time meeting in life, he's in the prayer line here, if Jesus will tell me what you come up here to ask him about, you come up not to see Brother Branham, you come to see the Lord Jesus. And now you believe that I'm just like this microphone. He points the microphone. You see? This microphone can't speak unless something speaks through it. See? It's just a piece of metal. It's got to have a sound here to hit it first before it will echo. Before it'll carry out. Now, that's the way I am. I'm just like the microphone, see? Now, there has to be some real intelligence behind here, something that knows you and knows all about you, and knows what you're here for, to speak through these lips to say that. Isn't that right? Now, the audience believes that, don't you, audience? See? Because we don't know each other, but he can tell me, then you believe him. So Brother Branham is saying, just as this microphone is mute, but it takes a voice to speak through it, and then that microphone will echo or repeat the same thing. He says, so too I'm waiting on him. How many times have you seen the film? He says, you know who I'm waiting for? I'm waiting for him. Why? Because God would speak to him, then he would speak it. You see? The Son can do nothing but what he hear the Father do, see the Father do. Brother Brown said he had to have a vision. Now, let's look at what Jesus said about himself. Notice in the next four verses of Scripture, Jesus tells us exactly what Brother Branham is saying here. In John 12, verse 49, he says, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. So when Jesus spoke what God already told him to speak, what's Jesus doing? What's it called? It's an echo. He's saying the same thing. All right, remember, he said, he that will confess me before men, I'll confess before my Father. That word is from the Greek word homologio. It means to say the same thing. All right, in John 12 and verse 50, and I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Now, if a prophet comes with, thus saith the Lord, what does that mean? It means the Lord has already said thus. So what's he doing? He's repeating. What's that repeat? It's an echo. All right. John 12 and verse 41. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, notice, as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise and let us go hence. So he's saying, I do what the Father commands me to do. I am echoing then. All right. And in John 15 and 10, if you keep my commandments, words, promises, you see, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So even as Jesus echoed the Father, he says, if you echo me, he says, we're all abiding in the same love. You see. Now, let's examine what Brother Branham said concerning this echoing back of God's Word. From the Message Conference, he said, let's just think. I can see Gabriel come down, his great sword standing by his side, and I can see Wormwood. And I can see the other great angels lighting on the rock around. And what is it? A conference table was being set. Then the Holy Spirit of God, as we see on the picture of Gethsemane, that light, which God is light, Elohim, the self-existing one, when he come down into his presence, do you want to go through with this, son? What? The angels are listening. What's going to be the result? The whole world lays upon your shoulder. Do you want to pay the price? Or what do you want to do? You can come right on now without death. There lays Calvary before you. There they'll spit in your face and they'll take you to Calvary, all these things. You'll die in agony with the crown of thorns on your head and your blood will drain out. Are you willing? Let's see what the conference, what the echo is going to be. All angels are standing around wondering what'll take place now. The decision's made. What is it? What did he echo? Not my will, but thy will be done. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. We're looking at sonship, our role. From why I'm against organized religion, Brother Branham said. Notice this is the angel of light. Remember the last angel. It's the angel in the church age to Laodicea. It's the Laodicea messenger that it's the last. Because the very next chapter is the 19th chapter, which is the coming bride. And this is the scripture, the last angel that came to bring light before the coming of the bride to go to meet Christ. It was the Laodicea church age. What was the Laodicea church age messenger? Calling them out of Babylon. Look, churches caught in her cage with her dogmas, denying the word and accepting dogmas. This is the angel of light to the Laodicean church that had rejected Christ and his word for dogma and had put him on the outside. And he stood at the door knocking, trying to get in. See? You see it? The church age had rejected the Christ, and Christ is the Word, and had rejected it and was on the outside. The only church age that we have of Christ on the outside, knocking, trying to get in. And this angel's messenger, he come from God, was echoing his message on the earth. To come out of Babylon, come out of the organization. The Holy Spirit today, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, is that angel trying to get the people back to the Word, because the Holy Spirit will only vindicate the Word. Now, I'd like to stop here just a moment, because as you follow this through, Brother Branham is pointing to Revelation chapter 18, verse 4. And in that verse, it says, another voice spoke from heaven. And Brother Branham says, see, another, it's an echo. Okay? Notice, it can't vindicate dogmas. There's no life in them. He is life. Notice the Laodicean church age had denied and rejected him and put him out. Notice this angel is the last messenger before the coming of Christ in the 18th chapter of Revelation. The messenger's voice, if we notice, when he gave his voice on earth, there was a voice echoing again in heaven. Fourth verse. If you want to read it, fourth verse of chapter 18. This messenger on the earth was so inclined with God until he spoke it on earth, and God echoed the same thing out of heaven. What is that fourth verse translation? What does it mean? God's voice speaking to his predestinated people, saying, come out of her, my people. Just exactly what the voice was. He's got people all out in there, all out through Babylon. Come out of her that you be not partakers of her sins. Yes, sir, out of that dogma and creeds to the Word made spirit and life. Now, what else could it be when Brother Branham said that the shout is the voice of the Lord God himself, and then it's just echoed or declared? He said, my ministry is to declare him that he's here. Amen. So if God then speaks the word, the prophet comes along and says, thus saith what God has spoken. Thus saith the Lord. So what is the prophet doing? He is echoing the words of the Father. Then when you speak the word, the same as the prophet spoke the word, what are you doing? But you're echoing the same. He that echoes the Son echoes life. You see, he that echoes not the Son echoes not life. He that hath the doctrine of Christ hath God. Echoes God. You see? And he echoes both the Father and the Son. Now, from greater than Solomon, Brother Bram said, there must be a supernatural sign from God to vindicate, no matter how real, how deep it was in theology, how great it sounded. Still, if God's supernatural sign didn't vindicate it, it wasn't so to the Jew. Now, the Old Testament, the Aaron's plate was done away with the Old Covenant. You know, he's talking about the breastplate. But in the New Covenant, God still remains with the Urim Thummim. That is, if a prophet, a dreamer, a theologian, or whatever it is, speaks something that's contrary to the Word, and God don't echo it back through the Word, I'll let it alone. For it's God's Urim Thummim. And I believe it with all my heart that it's God's Word. So if God does not echo that thing back, they said just leave it alone. Now remember, he that echoes the Son echoes what? Life. So if that thing that you're echoing is not manifestly expressing itself before you, it's not a living word. You see, we're not talking theology. We're not talking philosophy. We're talking about being able to see what is happening in the hour in which you live, and with the Alpha Omega principle going back and putting a tag on it, because what takes place in this hour, and you see transpiring in this hour, and you go back to that hour, you've got the tag. You've got what spirit is taking place. Then when you've got that tag, and you've got that thing taking place in this hour, there is life involved. Whether it's the twins, whether it's a God life or the devil life, in the church and the people, whether it's a true brother, false brother, the thing is being manifested, showing that the very life of the Word is transpiring before you. Hallelujah. From demonology to religious, Brother Branham said, now, then the Urim Thummim today is the Bible. If somebody has give a prophecy or a dream and it don't compare or echo with God's Bible, it's false. Don't believe it. And from spoken word is the original seed, which basically that's where we're going back to. He said, the Word of God continually goes on. I'm told that if we could pick up an instrument that could catch it. Now, let me just say that because I just felt what I mean by that's what we're going back to is that's where that source of the Word is, where the echo comes back to the source. You stand at the mouth of a cave or whatever and you shout, and what happens? That echo comes back to you. If God Himself has come down with a shout, He's the originator of the Word, then as we speak that Word, it's going back to Him. And the Bible tells us that. In Malachi chapter 3, then He heard it, and He wrote a book of remembrance of those that spoke often, those that echoed often, you see. All right, now, notice He says, now then, the Urim Thummim today is the Bible. If somebody has give a prophecy or dream and it don't compare or echo with God's Bible, it's false. Don't believe it. And from spoken word, He says, the Word of God continually goes on. I'm told that if we could pick up an instrument that could catch it, that a man's voice, my voice that I speak today, 10,000 years from now, could still be picked up in the air. And remember in 1990, Brother Vail, in the meetings in Toronto, he told us about an article he had read where the people had just a few years before that, I think it was 1988, they were listening to a broadcast of a television program over in England, and they liked the program so much they called the station and they said, you know, could you play that more often or you know, that series more often? They said, what are you talking about? They said, well, you know, this is the name of the show and these were the actors in it and this was, you know, a really great show. And they said, well, we didn't play that. And they got curious. And they traced it down and found the last time it had been played was like 20 years prior in some place in Texas. But that wave had been circling the world over and over and over again, and somehow their instrument on their television, the atmosphere was just right that they picked up that program and they watched it that night on television. The whole family did. And Brother Branham has told us many, many times, he says, your words, the things that you say, are going to be repeated back at the White Throne Judgment. Now listen. This is where I want to bring some peace to you this morning. All right? He says, the Word of God continually goes on. I'm told that if we could pick up an instrument that could catch it, that a man's voice, my voice that I speak today, 10,000 years from now, could still be picked up in the air. It's like dropping a pebble in the middle of a pond, and the teeny little waves, remember we talked about this last week, and the little teeny waves, after they failed to be seen by the human eye, they continue on until it hits the bank. And the airwave of our voices continually travels around and around the world. Therefore, then our voice, what we say, will be our judgment. Now that sounds scary. Our testimony will rise right against us. Our own voice will echo in our own hearts, our own voices will echo in our own ears at the judgment bar of God, when His great instrument catches every voice that's been spoken, every word that's been muttered. So what are you echoing today? Because what you echo today will be played back at the white throne judgment. Then if all of our words are the words of our Father, now here's your key. If all of our words are the words of our Father God, then won't it be a wonderful experience at the white throne judgment? Think about that. Won't it be wonderful for our Father God and all the saints and all the angels to hear our Father's own words being repeated back at the time as our life is reviewed before all to see? Then what will be your echo then? Will it be His own words being spoken from your mouth? Or will it be worldly echoes? Worldly songs of lust and sin? Will we all hear songs of praise on that day? Or will we hear country song lyrics when our voices are played back at the white throne judgment? That's why Paul says, whatsoever you do in deed or song or whatever, do all in the name of Jesus. If you have any virtue, if you have any praise, think on these things. In other words, we find in 1 John 5:12, he that echoes the Son echoes life. And he that echoes not the Son echoes not life. In other words, our life in Christ becomes an echo of the Father's words to everyone to hear. For the Son of God echoes forth the words of the Father, and when we echo His words, we are echoing the words of life. And did you know that the Son of God was so single-focused that He shut out everything that was not from the Father? Remember when we spoke in the parables that Jesus taught? From Matthew 6 and verse 22, the light of the body is the eye. And if therefore thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. And remember when we studied this parable, we found that He's not speaking of having one eye like a cyclops. But rather He says, if therefore thine eye be single, He's speaking of our being single focused. And if we are single focused, as Jesus was single focused, then we will be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, that means if your focus becomes deviated from the truth, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is thy darkness? Now we find in Isaiah 42 and verse 19 that the Scripture teaches us that the Son of God was blind to everything except God's word. And He was deaf to everything but God. He said, not my will be done, but thy will be done. It is written in the book, I have come to do thy will, O God. The Son can of Himself do nothing, but what He seeth the Father do, that the Son doeth likewise. The things that the Father commanded me to speak, those things I teach. From the King James Version of Isaiah 42 and 19, we read, who is blind but my servant? Or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect? And blind as the Lord's servant? The Rotherham translation says, who is blind if not my servant? Or deaf like my messenger that I sent? Who is blind like an intimate friend is blind? Or blind like the servant of Yahweh? I love that. Who is blind like an intimate friend is blind? When you've got a very close friend, you don't examine that friend and find their faults. You look beyond any little faults because you have a bond there. They say love is blind. Love covers a multitude of sin. And so we see the Son of God, the greatest friend that God ever had. He was blind to everything but the will of his Father. From the Jerusalem Bible, we read, "Who so blind as my servant, so deaf as the messenger that I send?" In other words, it should be read, "Who in all the world is as blind as my servant? Who is designed to be my messenger of truth? Who is so blind as my dedicated one, my devoted one, the servant of the Lord?" So we see here that Jesus Christ was absolutely blind concerning anything that was contrary to God's word, God's will, and God's purpose. Now this brings us to the fifth benefit in our series. And the fifth benefit to us in believing the relationship between the Father and the Son is to know that we have life. To know that we echo life. Now this is different than just to echo life. For to know that we echo life brings the benefit of rest. And if we know that we echo life, our whole nature changes. And thus our relationship with God changes. And thus we enter into such a peace that no man could ever rob you of your confidence in your relationship to God and thus God's Word. We find the text for the study in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. Remember we read in 1 John 5 and verse 12, "He that echoes the Son echoes life, and he that echoes not the Son of God echoes not life." And in verse 13 we read, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." Again, we find the word here, the word "have" that was used here, not "hath" this time, but the word "have" is actually translated from the same Greek word "echo." "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God." He's not writing to those that don't believe on the name of the Son of God. He's writing to those that do believe on the name of the Son of God. "That you may know that you have," or "that you have echoed, eternal life. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." Let me read it one more time. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you echo eternal life. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." Now it's a little strange that he says, "I've written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God." And he ends it with, "that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." So he's not talking about your believing on the name of the Son of God. He's talking about here, that you may know that you are echoing. So here is not the fact that you echo, but the fact that you know that you're echoing. Know what you're echoing. Know who you're echoing. Because then the echo is not just something being done out of a rote learning process, as though you are able to simply repeat or be a parrot. Because to just repeat does not mean that you truly know and does not mean that you truly understand what you are talking about. Brother Vail told me, he said there's people that they got it but don't got it. They can use the right words. They can say the right things, but you know they don't understand. And then that's not an echo. You see, in order to have an echo, there's got to be the same emphasis, not only emphasis, but there's got to be the same life expression coming forth. You can talk it all you want, but if your life is not living it, if there is not, and I won't even say, you know, you got to be without mistakes. Let's face it, we all make mistakes. We all fall daily. Brother Branham said we backslide daily. But the emphasis is in your desire to live a life that is an echo of what you're speaking about. Because Brother Branham said, "Just don't tell me a sermon." He said, "Live me one." Uh-huh. All right? But to know that you are echoing back the same words as the Son of God means that you also understand what those words are and what you're saying. How many people can quote the scripture verbatim and not even know what it is that they're saying? The denominational world is full of such people. And Jesus faced those kind of people all the time. From the message, "Who do you say this is?" Brother Bram said, and again the church, seen him in his great power of manifesting. Manifesting what? Not manifesting a creed. He was manifesting the Word. He was the anointed Word himself. And when they seen that taking place, the manifestation, the anointed Messiah, they turned it down. They didn't want it. It wasn't in their taste. That's the pitiful part. How many just think of it? Just as in the other days, see, each had their own interpretation of the Word. And that's what the reason Israel didn't recognize Moses. That's the reason the world didn't recognize Noah. That's the reason all the prophets wasn't recognized. They had their own interpretation of the Word. But God in every age has had his Messiah, see? To reject Noah's message was to reject God. To reject Noah was to perish. To reject Moses was to perish. It was. They were the anointed Messiahs for that age. And the Word that was promised for that age, and when Jesus came, he was the fullness of the Word. God himself made into a man's structure with bones and flesh, the anointed one. And they should have seen that. But you see, their church world had so added here and taken away here and so forth until it was so messed up, until they trusted in their church in the stead of the Word. And when they seen their church anointed, then they thought something great was taking place. But when they seen the Word anointed, then they said, that's fanaticism. This man is a devil, a Beelzebub. Because it was contrary, so contrary to their church creeds and what they had done. And it was that way in every coming of a prophet. The church would be so messed up. By the way, did you know that the Word of God never did come to a theologian? Find the scripture wherever it was. The Word don't come to a theologian, not at all. But you see, if the Word was made manifest today, the Word for our day, it would be the taste of God's Word, not in the taste of somebody else's idea. God would take his Word that he promised for this day and anoint it. And it would happen. That's all. There's no way to keep from it, from happening. It'll do it anyhow. No matter what the church says and what the rest of them believes it and it, God will do it anyhow. There'll be just a very few that'll ever know about it. That's right. Just a very few. It always was that way. So you see, when we speak of the echoing of God's Word, the understanding must be there, or the echo will not truly give a certain sound, but an uncertain sound. Those Pharisees could quote every scripture. They could take that rolled scripture, they could put a pin through a letter, and know every single letter that it went through as it went through that roll. They knew the quotes. They could quote the prophets, but they didn't know what it said. Satan can quote. He quoted Jesus back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, but he didn't have a clue. He didn't have revelation of that Word. But we are looking at the benefit of knowing that we are truly echoing the Son of God and thus the life that was manifested in the Son. Because when you begin to echo, you are actually in your life seeing the Word all around you. And you're part of that Word. And as you begin to speak, you're speaking not about some theology, not about some philosophy, but you're speaking about the Word that has become manifest in your life. Amen. And that's what you're declaring. And that's what the prophets did. They were the Word manifested. And that's what they spoke about, is that Word manifested. And that's what you speak about, is that Word manifested in your life. And what you see as the Word unfolding itself, you've become part of that great unfolding. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you echo eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. As I said earlier, the benefit of knowing that we echo is that we receive a certain peace, a certain rest from our own works. And we enter into an assurance of faith that brings us into a peace that surpasses all understanding. We find ourselves saying the same thing as the prophet said when we are confronted by the same unbelief he was confronted with. I do not know how many times this has happened to me. when men bring to me, they bring questions all around the world, or you receive challenges concerning our understanding of the doctrine of Christ, and I seem to find this same thing happening time and time and time again, that the words begin to come forth out of my mouth that I had not prearranged, that I had not rehearsed, that I've not even thought about. But when I check them out later to find if Brother Branham said it, 100% of the time, I find where Brother Branham said it exactly the same way that it came out of my mouth. Remember, Jesus said, "He that will confess me before men, I will confess before my Father, which is in heaven." And knowing the word confess, it was taken from the Greek word homologio, which means the same word. I find it quite comforting to myself when I find myself saying the same words as the Son of God said. Because those are the words of life that came forth from the Father. For Jesus said, "My words are spirit and my words are life." Now this rest is spoken of that is to take place in this hour. And it's called by the Greek word parhesia, which means a certain boldness to speak. Now the word parhesia means assurance, openly confident, absence of fear in speaking. This word parhesia is a Greek word used in Scripture to show assurance, to show open confidence, and an absence of fear. And I'm placing the Scripture among those which refer to the end time conditions of the elect. This condition of assurance, confidence, and absence of fear are a direct result of the parousia of Christ, His manifesting in His true character, and the fact that when He openly reveals who He is, why He's here, this brings the elect into a place where they know and they understand their own position in Christ. This makes them bold and unashamed before Him in His presence. And so we shall examine in this word parhesia for just a few moments, because it ties with this knowing that we echo. In John 7 verse 13, we read, "Howbeit no man spoke parhesia of Him for fear of the Jews." No man spoke openly of Him for fear of the Jews. This shows plainly that the parhesia has to do with having no fear. And these people could not have parhesia, or absence of fear, and then have fear at the same time. They were too concerned with what others thought, and they were not concerned enough with what God Himself thought. This is where parhesia comes. When we have become so filled with a sense of honor to God that we have no other thoughts but His thoughts that we are willing and wanting to express, but when people are looking for position with man, they will then trim their words to please man. But those with parhesia are those who, because they know who they are and that He is here, they are willing to say only what He said and do what He says to do. They have placed the highest esteem in the vindicated word for the hour, and no other words have value to them. In 1 John 2 and verse 28, "And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall phaneroo," that means to manifest in His true character, "we may have parhesia and not be ashamed before Him at His parousia." This lets you know that God's children are to come to a condition of parhesia, or absence of fear, when Christ's great presence and disclosure, His manifesting Himself in His true character, takes place. Remember in 1 John 3 and verse 1 to 2, we are told that when He phaneroos, we too will phaneroo. Remember it says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, but it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear," when He shall phaneroo, "we shall phaneroo, we shall appear like Him. For we shall see Him as He truly is." So when we see Him phaneroo, we begin to phaneroo. What are we doing then? What is He? He's the Word. We're beginning to echo. When we see Him as He truly is, we begin to echo what He truly is, and we begin to echo what we truly are, because we are the Word that was in God's thoughts before the foundations of the world. You see how we're coming to sonship. Brother Branham said, when the bride knows who she is, that's when she's going to go. Hallelujah. So we read in 1 John 3 and 1 to 2, we are told that when He phaneroos, we too will phaneroo, because we see His phaneroo. So in essence, we begin to echo Him, and in echoing Him, we begin to manifest His Word to the world. And thus, as His true character is revealed or openly manifested to us, we in turn begin to manifestly open our true character that was predestinated in us from before the foundations of the world, which is the Word coming into manifestation again, which the Word again means an echo, off from the original. And we know that since the spoken Word is the original seed, then each time it manifests, it echoes forth the origin or the original again and again and again. It echoed it in His Son. It echoed it in William Branham. It's echoing it to us. Or I should say, it echoed it in His Son. It echoed it through Paul. It echoed it through the messengers. Finally, there's a clear echo again at the end time through William Branham, and now it's echoing through you and I. Therefore, at this time, we come into a condition of uninhibited assurance and open confidence. This condition is a result of the unveiling of Christ. He comes not only as husband, but as our advocate and judge. And as husband, He does not have to testify against us. And as our advocate, He is our defense attorney. And as our judge, the case is sewed up. We are predestinated not to fall. He that has begun the good work in you is the one who's going to perform it. Hallelujah. So if He's performing it, what's He doing? He's echoing it in you. Then it's not you, is it? It's Him. If you're speaking His Word, then it's not your words, is it? It's His words. Amen. Then at the white throne, when your words are played back, it's actually His words being played back. What have you got to fear? What have you got to fear? He's your attorney. He's a judge. Mm-hmm. You think the judge is going to throw his own wife in the clicker? You think the attorney is going to speak a word against his wife at that white throne? We are predestinated not to fall. Amen. He that has begun the good work in you, He is the one that will perform it. He is the author and He is the finisher of our faith. As Paul said in Galatians 2, we live by the faith of the Son of God. It's His faith we live by, not our own. Therefore, whom the Son shall make free is free indeed. What else could we ask for? This brings confidence as never known before, when He which gave the Word is here to confirm it. In 1 John 4 and verse 17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have confidence, that we may have parhesia in the day of judgment. Because as He is, now here's the key, as He is, so are we in this world. Notice there's that echo again. As He is, so are we. And in the day when the judge is present, which we find in James 5 and verse 9, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, and John chapter 12 and verse 48, we shall have parhesia, which is an absence of fear. It also lets us know that this parhesia comes as a result of seeing Him as He truly is. Because as He is, so are we. And thus we know that we echo eternal life. This statement also ensures us of a tremendous blessing and confidence or absence of fear. How could God deny any part of Himself? He can't. Then how could He deny His own seed? He can't. Then what have we to fear? Here, He is here to ensure that we do not fall this time. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 12, we read, in whom we have parhesia and access with confidence by the faith of Him. And remember, the word out means out from. So it's His faith. Notice this uninhibited confidence or absence of fear comes by receiving His faith. It tells us that it comes by the faith of Him. It is not then our faith, but it is His faith that does this. Jesus was the first one to display this uninhibited boldness because He knew who He was and who sent Him, as we find in John chapter 6, John chapter 7, John chapter 8, John chapter 9, John chapter 10, and all the way through when He faced His adversaries. And they spit at His face, they hit Him in the face, they smacked Him around, and they said, are you the Son of God? He said, I am. He wasn't afraid. And so we see, as the Pharisees and religious leaders of His day, He really let them have it with both barrels because He had a parhesia. He had a rest. He knew who He was. Again, we find the Apostle Paul speaking of this parhesia in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. He says, "Let us therefore come with parhesia unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." God wants us to come into His presence by revelation with full assurance, and He has assured us that in so doing we shall receive not only His mercy, but also His grace that will meet whatever requirements we might lack. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. We must come in confidence that He hears us. The very fact that He has come down in this hour and has unveiled Himself to His seed and has let us know Him as never before and has established a relationship with us lets us see how much He loves us and wants to fellowship with us. Then seeing through the revealed word for this hour our place in Christ and our relationship to God as our loving Father, we understand more fully our relationship that began in Him before the foundations of the world, where we were in His thoughts and made manifest finally in this hour. Then what confidence ought we to have? What sense of having no fear we ought to have? You know, Brother Branham said to Brother Vail about a week or so before he went off the scene, he said, "Brother Vail," he said, "since I met him on the mountain," he said, "I have no fear. All my thoughts are of God." Again, we find in Hebrews chapter 10, in verse 35, "Cast away, therefore, your parhesia." That's your... Let me read again. "Cast not away, therefore, your parhesia, which hath great recompense of reward." He has already blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, but we fail to receive what He has already assured us by promise. Therefore, Paul is telling us here that we must first receive this parhesia in order to receive every other predestinated blessing, especially those promised that have to do with our placement and our inheritance. And notice here he says the parhesia has great recompense of reward. Why? Because your parhesia shows that you trust God's word, that you're at peace with God's word, that you're at rest with God's word, that you believe that He that promised is also more than able to perform His promise. The parhesia has great recompense of reward. Now, the word recompense is an award that is given as a form of retribution for hurt and damage. And God knows that all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So He gives us a boldness to stand when we have done all we can do but to stand. And through faith and patience, we shall inherit the promise. We also see in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, verse 7, and verse 10 through 12, that we receive a manifest token of God's judging us worthy, and thus we receive His very mindset, His glory, His doxa. In John chapter 16, verse 25 to 29, we find Jesus speaking to the disciples the following about His parhesia. He says, "These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. But the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you parhesia of the Father. And at that day you shall ask in my name, and I shall say unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. And I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world. Again I leave the world, and go to the Father." And His disciples said now unto Him, "Lo, now speakest thou parhesia. Now speakest thou openly. Now speakest thou without fear, and speakest no proverb." And Jesus Himself is full of parhesia, and He says that in the day when He discloses or unveils the mighty God before us, that we will also come into this state of parhesia and will not be inhibited in our prayer to God. We will know the will of God and the mind of God. We will show parhesia, or He will show parhesia to us, and we will enter into parhesia. This lets you know that we get this parhesia from something that is shown to us or disclosed to us. Remember, as He phanerous, we echo and phaneru again. And thus, echoed to us. And we thus echo it back to God from whence it came originally. In our text, we read of the importance to know that we echo the Son of God. And we found that it brings us into a rest and an assurance of faith. In this next scripture, we find the evidence of our parhesia with God. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 21, "Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we parhesia toward God." The condition then of our heart is the only inhibiting force in our parhesia toward God. And as we saw earlier, our parhesia comes by His faith. We are assured of receiving His parhesia if we receive His faith, if we echo Him, if we acknowledge the Father and echo back the words of the Father. And how could God condemn you for echoing Him? Every father wants his child to echo his words. Who teaches the child to say, "Daddy"? It's not his uncle. It's not his brothers or sisters. It's Daddy. And every father wants his child to echo his words. If they're a righteous father. Now, I remember reading a story about children's first words, and they were all full of profanity. And people were embarrassed because their children would say profane words. But the fact is that those are the words that are being spoken in the home, and that's why the child says those things. So if your child is speaking the words of God, you know that the words of God are being spoken in the home. Hallelujah. He's echoing. The child echoes. He's a reflection of Daddy or Mommy. In 1 John 5 and 14 then, "And this is the parhesia that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He'll hear us." Notice He said, "According to your will"? No. He says, "According to His will. I have come to do Thy will, O God." According to God's will. And this is the parhesia that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And that's what Jesus said, "I have come to do Thy will, O God. I have come to manifest openly Thy thoughts and to echo Thee, Father." What uninhibited confidence we have in Him, that we are assured that He will always hear us. In closing, we'll read from 1 John 5 and verse 13. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you echo eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we once again thank You, Lord, for these words which You have given to us through Your prophet and through Your scripture. And Father, we thank You that You have allowed us, Lord, to tap into Your mindset, to understand our role as sons. Amen. That we have no doctrine of our own. Amen. We have no thoughts of our own. We have no speech of our own, no actions of our own. But simply we are a reflection of Thee. And the only way we could reflect Thee is that we saw it manifested and declared openly through Your Son, Jesus. And in this hour, You did the same through a vessel that was born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come forth to the world speaking lies, and yet You took a hold of that vessel. And You changed that vessel from a boy that would shoot and kill to a Son of God that was a complete reflection of Thee in every way. And so, Father, we're thankful for that. Knowing that Your own Son was blind to everything, deaf to everything, except for "Thus saith the Lord." Help us, Father, as we enter into this role of sonship, that we too might enter into "Thus saith the Lord." For Your prophet Himself said, "The bride will have 'Thus saith the Lord,' or she will keep still." And that is our lot. That is what has been prophesied and spoken of by the prophets concerning the elect in this hour. And that is the role that we choose, Father, by Your grace, because You are the one who began the work, and it'll be You that will finish the work in us. And now we commit ourselves to that role in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's just sing that song, Hallelujah. I can just, hallelujah. Hallelujah means so be it. Number 15 in our Behold songbook.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Let's all stand and worship Him now.
He is Alpha and Omega. He is Alpha and Omega. He is Alpha and Omega. Alpha and Omega. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
As you were singing, this thought came to me. I just want to share it with you because I think it'll help us to understand a little better. But as God brings that thought to your mind, and you begin to speak it, you're beginning to echo that word, then you watch that word begin to manifest itself all around you. I've seen it time and time again through the years. Brother Ron, you know what I'm talking about. The word goes forth, and then people begin to manifest what is being spoken. And as God gives you that word in your mind first, and you begin to speak that word, and then you begin to see it manifest, each time there's an echo. The thought which is from God begins to come forth out of your mouth, a declaration. You're declaring, you're echoing God's thoughts. And then you're seeing that word as it's transpiring, as it's manifesting. That is, in essence, an echo. You know, it takes a solid object to echo. You cannot cry out into vast space. It's like a vacuum. But it takes a solid object. And so when you begin to speak that word, as it begins to materialize and manifest before you, that is the echoing coming back to you. You see? And so the word has taken on life. Paul said, and you hath he quickened. Quickened to what? To the word. And the word has come alive in you. And you've come alive to the word.
Amen.
That's what it's all about.
Amen.
Amen. One more time.
Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Amen. 190. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come.
That's your echo.
Holy, holy.
Take the name of Jesus with you. Hallelujah. Amen.